Once upon a time, there were six strangers. Strangers who, despite the best efforts of the coronavirus, got together for a virtual game of D&D. That game turned into another game, which turned into yet another game, which turned into a campaign. By then, the strangers, who had started to become friends, said, "Hey, since we're playing and we need those notes anyways, why don't we record it and release it as a podcast?" This is the story of the players and the characters in that campaign. This is the story of Golden Glory in Season 3, The Shadow Conclave. Okay, welcome to our D&D podcast. First thing you gotta know, we're not voice actors. We're not even actors. We're just a bunch of regular folk who wanted to play D&D during the coronavirus pandemic. Next thing you gotta know, this ain't your run-of-the-mill D&D game. It's an Acquisitions Incorporated game, which means it's going to get weird, corporate, and have a bunch of acting in-jokes. Last thing you gotta know, it's a homebrew game, which means if you're looking for adventures on the Sword Coast, or in Tal'Dorei, or in Wildmar, you're not going to find them here. But if you're looking for something a little familiar, and more than a little different, onwards to Golden Glory. Now, before we begin, here's a quick character intro, just to help you know who's who.
Hi, I'm Selena, a human divination wizard, and I'm the loremonger.
Hi, I'm Theo. I'm a human twilight cleric, and I'm also the documancer.
Hey, I play Edith, a dwarf barbarian, and I'm the decisionist.
Hi, I'm Siona, a half-elf bard, and I'm the secretarian.
I am Turin, a dragonborn paladin, and I am an independent contractor representing the Kingdom of Lemuria.
Hi, I'm Bobo the Hobo. I'm a tabaxi rogue and a freelance contractor.
When last we saw our heroes, in a brave or foolhardy three-way party split, our fearless franchisees attempt to uncover clues that might uncover the whereabouts of the gnome artificer, Timely Trunort, reveal the Golden Glory imposters operating a fake corporate headquarters out of Saltmarsh, and attempt to determine what happened to Kit Nyss, their once companion and partner, who seems hell-bent on seeking vengeance and retribution. Onwards to Golden Glory. Okay, let's roll some initiative, please.
17 for me.
Ooh, that's pretty good. Okay, 17, Selena. How about you, Bobo?
It's a nat 1.
Nat 1? Oh, that's terrible. Okay, Bobo. All right. Selena, you feel the ground begin to almost collapse under you, and you can feel, you know, these strange, almost like protoplasms of the carpet actually start to wrap and enfold themselves around you. But you can go first. What do you do? Selena.
Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry. What's going on? Can you repeat that?
So there is a carpet that you are actually literally standing on at
right.
the moment, and it's sort of wrapping itself around you.
Ooh. Can I get off the carpet?
You could. How?
I jump off of it.
Okay, so if you're moving out of it and not using something like a teleport spell, then it's going
to
get...
Let me just check to see if I have a teleport spell. Just give me a second here. Spells. I do have teleport spells, so I should... I'm going to misty step off of it.
Okay.
Oh, you don't have ours up. Okay.
Yeah. We'll just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to misty step off of the carpet, so I'm as far away from whatever was in that thing.
Do you want to go to the left or you want to go to the right?
I want to go away from the monster in the thing.
The monster. You mean
in the chest.
In
the
chest.
I want to go away.
Okay,
from
all right. So
30 feet away.
30 feet away. That's going to be to your
right.
Effectively, and you kind of go there. That's about 30 feet right there. Okay, yeah. So you manage to kind of teleport away from the, you know, this carpet, which is, you know, trying to basically move in your direction.
And then I am going to use Hex.
Ooh, nice.
To Hex the monster.
Okay, the monster itself. Okay.
Yep.
What's the range on Hex?
Hex is 90 feet. So I'm well within reach.
Nice. Okay, so, and then it has to make a saving throw? Is that how it works?
Place a curse on a creature that you can see within range until the spell ends. You deal an extra 1d6 necrotic damage to the target whenever you hit it with an attack. And also, if the target drops to 0 hit points before the spell ends. It doesn't say that there's...
Yep, no saving throw. No, so yeah, that's automatic. Okay,
yep.
So all of a sudden, like, your hex, you know, kind of focuses around it. You can see your dark magics begin to whirl around, mm-hmm. and your kind of gypsy Roma instincts kind of flare out, and you can kind of see, poof, your eyes glow bright as you... that because hex is a bonus action. You can actually do Eldritch Blast.
Well, I did Misty Step.
Oh, you already did it. Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's a problem.
Okay, I can't do Hex and...
You can't do two, unless you've got a weird sorcerer ability.
No, I don't. Okay, I don't think so.
All right.
Oh.
Now, you could just cast a normal cantrip.
Nah. Well, let me see. What cantrips do I have?
Eldritch Blast.
Oh, yeah, I could do... yeah, I'll just do an Eldritch Blast on it.
Okay, go.
But isn't that... Okay, yeah, because I can do that because it's... But that's not a bonus action.
It's an action. That's
but
my
I
point.
Already did. Is Misty Step a
Misty
bonus?
Misty Step is a bonus
action.
Oh,
okay.
So
yeah,
you
yeah, yeah. Okay.
Bonus action to do Misty
got
Step.
Got it. I thought Misty Step was okay. Yeah. So I'll do Eldritch Blast. So. So that's 22 for the first one.
Okay, 22 most definitely hits.
Okay, so that's 2 points of damage.
Oh, that sucks.
I know.
Okay.
And I get to do two, right? Or do I do three?
I think it's two.
Two beams at fifth level.
Where's
and then
my
three
mimic?
At 11th.
Oh, here it is.
18 for the second one.
Okay.
And another 2 points of damage.
That's terrible damage. Okay.
Well, so, at least got damage.
All right. So then that's that. And then you fire off your Eldritch Blast, and it kind of slams into, you know, the gaping mouth of this creature. And then
it's
your
just like,
second
ha-ha.
One. Yeah. Right. Okay. And then 2 points of damage, eh? Mm. That is like pathetic.
Total four, yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Better than nothing.
Sure, for sure. Okay, so 4 points of damage.
Yep.
All right. Then the rug begins kind of, you know, trying to scuttle over in your direction, but it's actually pretty slow.
Okay.
So I'm going to say it's going to dash over to the area, and you can see it's kind of weird, this, like, animated object just... and it's, like, moving over towards you, and, like, the colors of all the threads are beginning to shift in the firelight.
Yeah.
Now, the mimic basically tries clamping on to Bobo. Let's see what it is going to do first.
So how far does the carpet get?
It's about, like... 20 feet.
Okay.
Okay. Now it's got to attack Bobo. Okay. So all of a sudden, like, this weird tongue comes out of the inside of the chest and shoots out all covered with this slimy liquid and attempts to hit Bobo. Critical hit. Okay. And 15 points... of bludgeoning damage as, you know, the tongue kind of wraps over and, all of a sudden, Bobo gets pulled and the tongue wraps around him and it opens its mouth wide and you can see these gluey saliva things stretching open and it almost seems to expand even larger and then the tongue pulls Bobo into it and then the teeth shut. All right. You have been swallowed whole, Bobo.
and unconscious.
Oh, really?
I don't know. This character, she says Bobo has 10 hit points.
Oh, goodness. That's not good. Why would she be?
Why does she have so low?
Where she got hit for so much?
Yeah. So that was in another combat, And there's a whole time sequence. So I actually consider her to be fresh up, or him to be fresh up.
Okay.
So just, so I had done 15 points of damage.
Okay. Yes,
it is Bobo's turn.
All right. So Bobo's inside of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobo is there any conditions applied to Bobo?
You won't take it next, but you'll be taking acid damage if you don't escape.
Can Bobo see the way out?
Well, you're inside, I mean, you're in basically utter darkness inside the gullet of some sort of magical, aberration.
Right. So I think we're going to try to give this thing an upset stomach, and we're going to steady, aim, carefully, try to find the right place in this gullet, and jab it really hard with the rapier.
Nice. Okay, roll to hit. Now, when you're inside the gullet, you're being squeezed by all like the insides and the tongue and stuff like that. So creatures that are generally swallowed are hitting at disadvantage. Okay.
Oh, so the steady aim nullifies that.
Okay, then it's a normal roll. Go for it.
Okay, so let me try. Yeah. 14 plus 8 is 22.
That will hit.
And so does that mean I don't get the sneak attack then?
You don't have the sneak attack because you're not with advantage and you're not...
Yeah.
Yeah. So unfortunately, no. Yeah, no, understand. That would have been cool.
Okay. No, max damage, 12.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, yeah, I mean, you can hear the creature... But, you know, it's still kind of chomping away. All right. We go to the top. Oh, any other attacks from Bobo? Any other things?
Well, I mean, Teddy Ann uses the bonus action.
Uses the bonus action? Okay, so then that's up. Okay, Selena, so you see Bobo get sucked in and swallowed mm-hmm. whole by this thing mm-hmm. as this rug is kind of, you know, hobbling towards you. What do you do?
I'm going to put Hex on the monster.
Okay, bonus action.
Yeah, which is my bonus action. And then I'm going to use Guiding Bolt at level 3 on the monster.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
So that's 16 to hit.
Easy hit, yeah.
Okay.
It's like a chest.
Yeah. And 22 points.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And then all of a sudden, woof,
oh, like, plus the plus 6. Sorry. I forgot about, I have 1d6 of damage for the hex.
Okay. Yeah. Do that.
Plus another 4.
Plus another 4. Yeah. Like, I mean, all of a sudden, like the room flares up and you hear this as it, you know, takes the radiant energy from the strike plus the additional one from your kind of curse. And yeah, and now you can see the insides of the creature begin to bulge outwards,
yeah.
Almost like there's something struggling within. Yeah. Okay, anything else?
That's pretty much everything I can
do. Okay, so the rug
I want to make sure that the rug can't reach me, so if I can...
You can back up.
Can I back up a little bit? Yeah.
But this is as far as you can go.
Okay.
Okay? And basically, if you go here, you're still going to have line... Yeah, you would have line of sight anyways, yep. Okay?
Right.
So yeah, you can basically back up to that point.
Okay. I'm looking for something to put fire down on the rug. I don't really have fire.
Okay. So then the rug, basically, it does a dash. And it flows over towards you,
yeah.
But it doesn't attack during that
okay.
turn. Okay. So then that's fine. The mimic is going to chomp on Bobo. Okay. And I'm going to see if the acid gets recharged. It does not. It will do its bite. At advantage because you are restrained within it. 11, and then the second. Oh, so I don't know how this is possible, but Bobo doesn't take any damage from, you know, the insides. Maybe it's just the combination of different things happening, but you manage to weave out of the way, and you don't actually take damage from that. Now, that is from the bite. It is not going to be able to... Oh... And it doesn't have multi-attack. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so that is it for the mimic. And you... Okay, I need you to take a constitution saving throw, Bo.
All right. 17.
You make it. You take 16 points of acid damage.
That's already halved?
That's already halved.
Wow.
All right, Bobo's turn. And you can feel, you know, the acid begin to seep in and you can smell the burning everywhere around you. It's a horrible, horrible experience.
So the... The guiding bolt already gives Bobo advantage.
It does.
So it changes that, right?
Yeah.
So as a bonus action, I think Bobo is going to magic up this weapon.
Okay.
So it's going to become a plus one weapon to attack and damage rolls.
Nice.
Uses two charges of the Amulet of the Quill.
Okay.
I was going to attack this thing.
So you're attacking with advantage because of the Guiding Bolt.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it changes the disadvantage, so it cancels out, right?
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't get... Yeah, I was hoping you'd get the sneak attack, but I guess you don't. Okay.
I guess I don't.
Yep.
I don't know why that. And so that becomes a 23 to hit.
Ooh, that definitely hits. Nice. All right.
And... doing some math here. So 6 plus 4 plus 1, 11 points damage.
Nice. Okay.
Magical damage.
Now, I mean, especially with the extra edge and the enhancement of the magic, it digs in deep and you almost feel like the blade exit to the outside of this kind of amorphic shape, but then it continues to kind of, you know, chomp and move around you. Top of the turn, Selena. Mm-hmm. Okay, right in front of you, basically in melee distance, is this rug and is now beginning to kind of, you know, move up and swirl towards you. It's directly in front.
Is it? Okay, so, all right. I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet.
Okay.
Now, does the rug have wisdom? Like, is it, can I do Phantasmal Killer on it? Does it have, like, a brain?
Well, you are going to have to make that decision.
Well, my intelligence is really high. So as my character, would she know?
Have you ever seen or attacked a magic rug before?
I don't think so. I don't know. Have we?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You make an arcana or a nature. Actually, no. Make arcana.
I would never choose nature over arcana, just so you know. Oh, man, a bad roll. 12.
Okay. 2 seconds here. It is...
It's a rug, right?
It's a rug. Yes. So, you know, it depends on whether or not it's an enchanted creature or if it is a construct.
Okay.
For the most part, let's see.
Like, I don't think it would work, which is why I don't want to do it.
What are you doing?
I wanted to do Phantasmal Killer.
It doesn't say it's immune.
The mimic is a beast of some sort, right?
True, but in this case, it is a construct. It is immune to being blinded, charmed, deafened, frightened, paralyzed, petrified, and poisoned.
So that's none of those.
Yeah.
It's a frightened.
It's a frightened effect?
Yeah, it's a frightened effect. So it's immune.
Yeah, and it's also immune to psychic damage.
Okay, yeah, which is the type of damage. So that's what I thought.
Okay.
Okay, so if I move, will the rug be able to hit me?
It depends. If you're trying to move away from melee distance, you can, but I mean, you could move over and you could still continue casting spells at the mimic if you want.
Okay, because I want to move away from it.
Okay.
And I know I can't move backwards, so I want to move towards the mimic. So as long as I don't hit the rug, as long as I can get around it without it hitting me, that would be great.
So let's put you over here. So I'm going to say that this other creature here, which is a mimic, is the rug. Okay, so just pretend for now.
Okay.
So do you want to leave its melee range?
So it is in melee range. That's what I was asking.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Okay. So if I do expeditious... So I can do expeditious retreat as a bonus action.
Mm-hmm.
So then I can run to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do that.
Okay. So it does get an opportunity attack against you. And it misses with the 5. It is slow. It is a...
Yeah.
You know, okay. So yeah. So you move away?
Yeah. 30 feet away.
30 feet, 5, yeah. 10, 15, 20.
But not... I want to be as far away from 30. That mimic as possible.
Okay. So yeah. The mimic is over there. Okay. Cool.
And then I think the mimic I could use something like Phantasmal Killer on.
It's your call.
I don't know. Let's see.
An expeditious retreat is a bonus action.
Yes, I know. That's why I'm looking for something else. Because if the mimic is a beast, it should be able to take psychic damage, I think.
Okay. What do you do?
I'm going to do Mind Spike on the beast.
All right.
Okay. So that's a Wisdom 17 save.
Okay. Wisdom 17. Oh my god, it rolled a 21.
Yeah, it still gets damaged.
Okay.
It gets half damage, right?
Yep.
And it's psychic damage. So it's 25. So that
25.
Would be,
yeah, so that'd be 12. Half of that? So 12. Nice. Okay, like you can hear it beginning to kind of scream almost at the psychic level.
Yeah.
And yeah, like whatever it is inside is like bulging out even more. Okay,
yeah.
So that was you, Selena. The rug is basically scurrying back over in your direction, just trying to catch up with you. So I would say it reaches this point. No, actually 5, 10, 15, 20. Yeah, it's going to dash. It tries to, you know, close the distance, but it can't attack you.
Okay,
so then that's that. And then the mimic kind of goes. All right. So seeing as you are there and you, the other one. Okay. So it now, it is going to move directly to try and come over you. And you can see the pseudopod kind of lash out at you and kind of strike. I'm going to also see whether or not the spit acid is going to work. No, it does not. Okay, so yeah, this huge kind of stretched out limb comes out, 19 to hit.
Oh, that'll hit.
And you take 7 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
And I need you to make a... because it hit you, that this pseudopod basically clambers around your body and begins to kind of squeeze and you know, pull you tight. You're considered grappled, which means you're just immobilized. You can't move from this position. Okay?
But I can still cast.
You can still cast stuff, absolutely. Okay.
Bobo's going to steady aim to try to get over the disadvantage here.
Okay.
15 plus 1 is 16 plus...
Hits.
8, so 20-something?
Yep.
That hits?
It does.
And now that we have an ally within 5 feet, we get all that sneak attack stuff.
Ooh, yes, you do. Very, that's cool.
So 5d6 plus a d8.
Dumb tactic on Alpha's part.
Yes. Good tactic on Alpha's part. Well, good for us.
10, 16, 20, 27 plus... 27 plus 4, so 31.
Okay, the blade enhanced by its magic. In fact,
One more.
Why don't you tell me how do you want to do this?
I think the Bobo's like really, really just scrambling to get out, and using the rapier and the cat claws and everything else. Basically, uses the sword and punctures a hole and scrambles out of this thing as its body kind of around.
Yeah, and whatever kind of, I know, central nervous system, brain package or whatever, your blade seems to just spear right through it. And as you do it and you reach that maximum extension, you can just feel the creature in its form just like melt into this acidic puddle. And you kind of stand all like a soaking wet cat. Basically there. And as it does this, you hear this like psychic scream just kind of, you know, emanate from this creature. And as it dies, so does the carpet.
Yay.
Okay, so we are coming back to you, Siona. You exit the Drawn Enterprise building. You know, did I share? I'm streaming. Okay.
Yeah, you're streaming.
Okay, that's cool. All right. And, you basically kind of see, the outside now. So what do you do?
What time is it?
It is closer to about 4 o'clock, like late afternoon.
And what time is the concert?
The concert is, the concert is actually tomorrow night.
Oh, tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, I want to like get out of here and get back. I'm looking for a place to spend the night, so I must know. I don't have a map in front of me. There's got to be a place that I can go and spend the night.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are definitely inns, like the Empty Nest is one of them. Like that's probably the one that you're aware of. You could also just sleep on the ship if you wanted to.
It's not that so much that I'm looking to sleep. It's that I'm looking for 4 hours to myself that I can regain some hit points.
Okay.
And attune to my hat of disguise.
Got it. Okay. So as you kind of move to exit from this area, you realize that as you're kind of passing around, there's a little bit of a roadblock up over here. And you can see that it appears to be, looks like a retinue of kind of some armed warriors. And you also see that one Lord Commander Militant or whatever, the one that just kind of brushed by you. And you can see that they seem to be struggling with something that's making a lot of racket and noise, but you can't see it immediately from the area where you are. But as you kind of close upon their position, you actually see what it is. And much to your shock and a little bit of a dismay, you see Griffy, the Griffin, Theo's Griffin. And the guards seem to be, you know, pulling shackles and chains and things that are kind of, and in fact, it has some sort of muzzle on. And in fact, it seems to be struggling at the moment as if it's trying to break out of the restraints. And they're kind of pulling on it and holding it down. And, you know, they're basically trying to stabilize. What do you do?
I'm trying to think back to what happened to Griffy. Did Theo leave Griffy? Where did we leave Griffy?
Well, there were never any specific instructions with regards to Griffy. It was sort of generally saying he's his own creature. So, you know, there were never any specific you know, instructions or anything with regards to it. So it was kind of on its own. It was expected, you know, when it was at sea, it would go out and it would look for food and it would, you know, basically catch fish and stuff like that. It would inevitably return to the ship. But, you know, that's basically that. But then, you know, you don't know whether or not Theo made other arrangements or anything like that. Not that you were really concentrating on that stuff at all.
No, of course not. Don't be silly. How many of these guards are there with Griffey?
It looks like there are... Looks like three of them. And then there's also fur-cloaked warrior. And I guess... My question for you is, they're clearly moving and, you know, placing restraints around it.
Not yet restrained?
It is restrained, right? It's just trying to struggle against its restraints. And I guess the question I have for you is, they are clearly blocking the area, the immediate exit from Drawn Enterprise. And so my question is how close do you get to the action, if at all?
Well, I'll get a little closer because I want to assess if Griffey has any chance of getting out of those restraints or not.
As you move over there, just around the corner, you can kind of see. And what's happening is basically the men-at-arms are kind of moving off to the sides, kind of holding it on. And then this Lord Commander actually moves to the front of the creature and places a firm and strong hand at the small of the neck area around Griffey's kind of like the mane and the beak area. And he appears to be applying some sort of pressure, and he leans in very close to the beast. What do you do?
Shh. I don't like this. I need to look at my spells. Shit. Did I get any, like I was trying to see how Griffey is restrained, like...
So Griffey is held now. It is a large, monstrous creature, very powerful. Like, you know, it's a very powerful creature, but it's basically, you know, held back by three kind of leather and chain restraints by some big, powerful men. So, you know, if like all three men holding it, it's definitely restrained. But if, you know, some of the restraints were to be loosened for, you know, whatever reason, that could change the calculus. And Griffey lets out a loud screech.
Yeah, I am going to cast Polymorph.
Ooh.
I think I can still do this on myself.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to change into can I change into a griffin?
You can only change into beasts, okay? And I believe you'd have to check exactly what the challenge rating is. But for example, there's like a giant ape. That's one of the, you know, the bigger creatures. There are kind of dinosaurs like T-Rexes and stuff like that, or giant wolves, that sort of thing. It really kind of depends, you know, what you want to do, but it does have to be a beast. Okay. So, the griffin is sort of...
I was hoping for a flying beast.
Giant eagle? I'm not exactly sure what other flying creatures there are. But
pterodactyl.
But a pterodactyl is going to be smaller than a griffin. A griffin is quite a bit larger.
So a flying creature that's about as big as the griffin, or bigger, if that's possible. I want something like, I'm not that familiar with the creatures.
Okay, so
just,
What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a look at the stats. Okay, and then let's say... what's it called? Pterodactyl? Oops. Terrafolk. Clawfoot.
Well, you can do a T-Rex, right? So could you do the same stats for a pterodactyl? So that it can fly?
I would say no. So let's do this. I'm going to go to the type. I'm looking at the beast. And I think the challenge rating can be as high as 10 or 9 or something. Okay. Wolf weasel, Tyrannosaurus rex, insects, bats, stegosaurus, a whale.
I don't think a whale.
I am not seeing a large. Oh, pteranodon. Pteranodon is a medium-sized beast, which is smaller than the griffin.
Does it fly?
It does fly. Now, just so you know, a pteranodon has a challenge rating of a quarter compared to a griffin that probably has a challenge rating of 6 or 7.
What about a giant eagle?
Giant eagle will be similar. It could be slightly tougher. Let's see.
And it's the strength because she wants to... Are you trying to pick up the griffin?
My original... was to, my original thought was just to do something to cause a distraction or something so the griffin could break free.
Yep.
But if that, I don't think I can do that, so I'm looking at polymorph to either break the...
Quetzalcoatl?
Quetzalcoatl?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a flying serpent, I believe it is.
Flying serpent. Giant relative of the pteranodon has a wingspan over 30 feet. It can move on the ground like a quadruped, but it is more comfortable in the air with an 80-foot fly speed.
Ooh, that's pretty cool.
It's only a challenge rating 2.
Okay. It
has things like dive attack and flybys.
What's its size?
It is huge.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, challenge rating 2. Yeah. Huge beast. That's cool.
I missed how you spelled that.
It's a giant relative of the pteranodon.
She wants to.
Yeah, Quetzalcoatlus. I can't tell you how long I've owned this book for, but it's the first time I'm really coming across it. So clearly,
yeah. What I'm looking for is I'm trying to figure out options here, like either to help Griffy break free.
Okay.
And if Griffy can break free, then it doesn't, and I can fly, then it doesn't really matter. If Griffy can't break free, then if I can carry Griffy away, then that's something. But then there's also these armed guards, so there's also like taking them out, but I'm not sure that I have something to do that, which is why I'm looking at polymorph.
Okay, so tell me what you're doing. Griffy is beginning to kind of struggle. This commander knight person kind of puts his hand and is starting to kind of almost, pull himself nearer. Looks like he's about to kind of say things. The guards are just pulling tight on these kind of chains and restraints to kind of keep it down for the moment. What do you do?
I'm trying to digest a pile of information to see what if any of these creatures actually make sense here.
Okay.
I think I'll go... Giant eagle is pretty strong. Would a giant eagle be able to lift this thing?
No. But this Quetzalcoatlus could.
Okay. You know what? Then I'm going to change into a Quetzalcoatlus, and I'm just going to swoop in and grab Griffey and fly off.
Okay. So all of a sudden, like, and then these guards are like startled, and you can see, this Commander Ulrich. He is, you know, taken aback by essentially the appearance of a huge, gigantic pterodon, and you land on top of Griffey, and you kind of extend your claws, and you basically can kind of grab it and, have the wings. Okay, so what do you want to do?
I want to fly away as fast as I can.
Okay, I need you to make an athletics check. Now, you're using a strength of 15, which gives you +2. And let's see how does Griffey react? Okay, anyways, go ahead and make your athletics check at +2, please.
Can I have advantage because it's a surprise?
Okay, sure.
Would she be proficient in athletics?
No, because you're using the stats of the Quetzalcoatlus. You're not using her proficiencies.
So 19.
Ooh, that's pretty good. All right. Taking advantage of the moment of surprise, all of a sudden you kind of, grab Griffey. And in that moment of surprise, like two of the guards actually, release their kind of harnesses and stuff like that. And then you begin kind of, basically starting to kind of fly. Okay. Now, as that happens, you're actually picking up Griffey, but I would say it's a huge creature picking up another huge creature. So you've managed to kind of unravel the kind of tethers at this point. Now, at that moment, this Lord Commander kind of turns over. Now, we should probably roll initiative, but what he's going to do is he's going to strike at the Quetzalcoatlus, okay? And it has 30 hit points. So he is going to basically attack, and the Quetzalcoatlus, and he has like +7, so 20 to hit.
As a Quetzalcoatl, my AC is 13. So
13. Yes. Okay, so.
How is he hitting me?
He's hitting you with a long sword, and he kind of slashes out. Ooh, that's actually not that good. 9 points of damage, okay? And then he slashes again. But this time, you kind of flap out of his reach, and you begin actually lifting upwards with Griffey, in your hand. Now, I want you to make another athletics check, please, to see whether or not you can actually fly further and lift it up.
16.
Yep. Okay, you've got Griffey, and he is now only held down by a single rope, but this is now about, 15 to 20 feet in the air, and you kind of fly up, and like the guard is like, help! And he's like trying to kind of pull on it, and you can see the Lord Commander, hold him down, get the other tethers! All right, let's roll for initiative, please. Oh, terrible. Okay, you get to go first.
Without even seeing my roll.
Well, no. Actually, make the roll. Let's see. I mean, mine are terrible, but you never know.
17.
Okay, yeah, you definitely kind of go first. And let's see what Griffey's is. Oh, yeah. Griffey actually is faster than you. Now, it is panicking, seeing that you're kind of grappling, onto it, and it tries to basically break your grasp, and it's like swirling its wings around. I want you to make another athletics check, please.
Nat 20.
Oh, somehow you managed to hold it, and it is now your turn. It does not break your grasp.
Yeah, I am hightailing it out of here, and I'm just trying to, I don't have the map in front of me, but I think I'm going to head, I can see, right? So From this distance, I want to take a quick look across.
Okay, wait. Before you do that, like, you are still trying to fly up, but there's still one more guard that has the rope. I want you to make a athletics check with advantage to see whether or not you can pull free from the harness. Otherwise, you can't necessarily move, or you might be lifting him as well.
I don't mind lifting him as well.
Okay, all right.
Like, if I have the strength to lift him off the ground.
Athletic? Right? Well, I mean, it's a lot we're talking about here, because you're lifting not only Griffey, but also this additional man who is armored. So again, with advantage, because you've got the strength, you know, roll your athletics, please.
13.
Okay, huge flaps of wings, and all of a sudden you begin soaring up in the air, and he is still holding on. Whoa! And, you know, he's got the rope kind of tied to him, and you begin soaring to a 30 feet distance, and he's like, and then he basically lets go, and he clams his armored form onto the ground nearby, and you basically begin soaring away. Now, again, this is a pretty, I mean, you're lifting and flying with something that is essentially the same weight and size at you. You can see that you're actually making some distance, and all these guards plus the Lord Commander are actually running after you. Okay, so we can break from initiative at this point. But again, at this point, Griffey is panicking and is kind of struggling out from underneath you. Do you wish to continue holding on to it and guiding it, or are you just going to let him go, or her go, rather?
I'd like to keep holding him. I'm not sure how far is it from here to the Tower of Zenopus.
Oh, the Tower of Zenopus is quite far. That's almost like it. Almost 2 days over land, so flying maybe one day.
I'm looking for somewhere that we can that we can touch down out of sight, like that we can not land in the middle of a whole bunch of people.
Okay, couple options. So if you head due north, that's going to take you out of the city, and that's basically wilderness and forest. So you could kind of go over there. Another option is to go due south from your location. In fact, Drawn Enterprises is located at the edge of a sea cliff. And so if you fly south and you actually go down, there may be beach areas or rocks or something like that, and you could kind of fly, and you would be away from other people seeing you. But again, it would be up against whatever kind of cliff face there is. And the last option you think is Kelidek's tower. And Kelidek is the wizard who belongs to the Order of the Quill. And you do remember that, you know, that is, secluded itself. There's also Clan Cradstone, which is where the dwarves reside, but that's quite far.
Kelidek's tower, is it one of my closer options?
The closest options for you is to go below the cliffside, because that's literally just a hop, skip, and a jump, a couple wing flaps.
Okay.
If you just turn south.
That's where I'm going then.
Okay. So make one more athletics check as Griffey is struggling against you. Never mind. Natural one. Okay. Well, unless you roll, you know what? Yeah, roll. Just
19.
Okay. Somehow with your, your huge form, you overmaster and you kind of control it. And you actually dive over the side of the cliffs. And you can see that there is, you know, a small kind of, you know, beach area. And actually there's a large beach area, very adjacent and below the immediate area of the Drawn Mansion.
Okay, on my way down there, I just want to be looking with my eyes to see, is there a way that I can walk back, to civilization from here if I give up my shape and if Griffey doesn't.
Yeah, no, and in fact, I mean, and you saw this kind of coming into sailing in, there is, would you have been there? You wouldn't have been there. Okay, so you actually don't know. Yeah, like there's like a beach area, and you know, with some difficulty, you could probably climb the cliff area, or you could follow in at least the rocks area. The immediate, you know, and there's likely some sort of path maybe that leads up towards the drawn mansion. Okay. But I mean, at this point, and you, actually, what you can see, there is a bit of a stairway that leads along the edge of the cliff that seems to be going up to the area where there is some kind of luxury condominium development. So there does appear to be a way up.
Okay, that's good. I will, I'll put Griffey down and I'll step back. And I'm going to, in my pterodactyl form, like even before the polymorph comes off, I'm just going to like fold my wings and just kind of like go down to one knee so that he doesn't feel like that I'm going to attack him. And then I'll drop the spell.
Okay, so you drop the spell. Okay, so Griffey kind of screams at you, and you can see that there's these, like, all these, you know, harnesses and things like that. Your form transforms. Tell me what you do with this large, infuriated, frightened beast that basically begins rearing up and, you know, trying to assume, you know, like a frightened animal. That's very much what this is at this point. But because you've shifted shape, you know, that's almost a little bit different. So just tell me how you're approaching this specific scenario.
Yeah, so I put my wings down and I kneel and I put my head facing the ground. So like facing him.
Okay.
But not looking at him. And then I resume I guess I'm going back to myself, unless I'm going back to myself with my disguise.
Animal handling check.
Okay. 9.
Ooh. It screams at you, and it...
Can you clarify for me, though, like, would I still have my disguise on, or would I be a Siona? Because if I'm a Siona, then Griffey might recognize me.
So, you... What I recall is that you used your physical disguise skill in order to disguise yourself. It's not a magical thing. So what I would say is that when you transform back into your form, you're not going to be Siona. You're going to be Siona the half-orc.
Okay.
Now, it basically screams and it flies away from you and begins soaring out to the sea.
All right. Well, I guess that's that.
Okay. With that scene, let's return to Edith and Theo. So, you know, here you are in this particular situation. Theo, you kind of move forward. And Edith, I believe you're at the top of the initiative.
Great. We're still kind of firing. Well, she kind of moved away. She's still firing arrows at us. So there's cages behind.
She pulled out some magical whatever
thing,
so she's
within movement
right now.
Oh, great. Yeah,
she pulled out some short swords and type of thing, and she's trying to attack you.
Is it typical for her to use short swords?
Only when she's within melee range.
Yeah, that, but she's not standing over. Hey, question. She's capable. You would have seen her training with another card.
Okay, that's fine.
That's 27.
Both hits. Oh my gosh.
So 2d6 for that one, 2d6 for this one, and then 1d6 for the next five steps. 2, 1.
I have to move out. Okay.
So 7 necrotic, And these are not, this is to not kill her, by the way.
Understand.
I think I specified that earlier, but yeah. And 18 bludgeoning.
18 bludgeoning. Okay, something.
Yeah, both hits.
And is that the total damage?
Yeah.
Okay. Something really strange happens as the hammer kind of strikes into her form, and it actually kind of, you know, hits off on the shoulder, and then you can feel all of a sudden there's that burst of almost yellow mist that floods and spews into the area, and you can see her entire shoulder begin to shift and transform into like a yellow pus-filled goo, and you can see that her face is actually starting to melt and drip, and you can see that like her arms are now starting to lose their coherency and their form, and it almost feels like it's like a giant wax candle. And oddly, between the release of that yellow sulfurous gas and, you know, like the form kind of changing, it actually lengthens. And so it becomes almost this stretchy, length of melting wax that seems to be oozing outwards. It still retains a little bit of its form. But it is definitely changing its shape from whatever form it had before. It now doesn't resemble Kitness at all.
Oh my goodness.
See?
With a passive insight of a 22, Theo still gets tricked. So annoying. Okay. Well, at least we know. Wow. Oh, I'm shocked.
Okay. So.
I think it's your guys' turns in the before Theo.
That's correct. Okay. Now, do any of you understand? No, I guess it can speak common. Okay. And now, the price bargained will be paid. We shall consume you and take what has been promised. And this strange wax-like monstrosity just flows towards you. And it is weird. Although it is very big, it moves extremely quickly. And Edith, it is going to attack you. That misses as you kind of, you know, parry it away. But does a 19 hit? Yes, it does?
Yes.
Okay, so you take 7 points of bludgeoning damage, and you also take an additional 21 poison. And there's no save on that.
You're lucky that I have a sense to that.
Okay, so then you take half of that. Okay, that is its one attack, and I think that is good. All right, yeah, and it actually begins flowing over you, and Theo, you see part of Edith's form begin to actually blend and get covered by this, you know, melting yellow sulfurous mass that is just spreading everywhere. Okay, now, once again, over here, trying to remember what happened. Oh, here's the priestess. Okay, so she cast that one thing. Let me see what she does. Okay, she moves forward from this position 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Not enough to be able to do her thing. And so she can't even use dancing lights, the rest of it. No other attack spells. That's crazy. Okay, so she moves forward in your position. And then the other, the elite warrior, he'll continue to... He'll move slightly into the room. Sorry. Where the heck is he? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. And he'll take aim and fire his poison bolts at Theo. Okay, and this is at advantage. So, automatic miss, but I roll for advantage. 20.
That's a miss.
20 is a miss. Okay. Ding! Okay, then fires again. Up, critical hit. Okay, so that is 16 points of piercing damage. Uh-huh. And then make a constitution saving throw, please.
Let's say he fails.
Why do you say he fails? Oh, because you rolled it.
Well, I mean, I guess if I have to roll a constitution saving throw, it's a 24. But I am unconscious.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you are out. Okay, so Edith, you see, you know, this Theo kind of drop.
I don't have stuff. Wait, do I have stuff?
No, you don't have stuff.
Well, I don't have that kind of stuff. I'm not really looking at that.
Potions? It's an action to give me a potion.
Well, it means you live.
Well, it will definitely you'll die.
Also, I have a potion to vote
for. Yeah, well, you have like four people. I'm trying to tell you.
Okay, so Theo, I guess it's your turn, eh?
Okay.
So you have to make a death saving throw, please.
Good.
Okay, so you passed your first death saving throw.
Natural die. Well, you know me, I don't tell you what the results are. But it's not a 20.
As long as you just pass or fail, right?
Yeah, I've marked it.
Oh, well, you failed it. Okay. All right.
No, I didn't say I failed it. I said I marked my answer.
Ah, I see. Okay, I gotcha. Okay, so then that's fine. And then let's go to top of the turn. Edith, your go.
I don't want it to die. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go to Theo and try to give him one of our healing potions. And yes, that means I'll take the opportunity to attack.
Well, you both are in, you're both in melee range, so you wouldn't necessarily need to leave it, but you would have to spend your action, which means you wouldn't be able to attack. But if you are using it to give that a healing potion to Theo, that's absolutely fine.
Why?
I mean, like, what does your healing potion do? 1d4 plus, like, 2d4 plus 2?
44 plus 4.
44 plus 4, right? So that's going to be like 12 points of healing on average. Well, that's kind of meta, so do what you want to do.
Yeah, I'm going to give him one of my healing potions.
Okay, roll the dice.
Okay. 44. Do I roll or do you roll?
I don't.
Doesn't matter. Typically, it's the person administering the potion who does the roll.
Yeah.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 12 points of healing. Look at
that.
That was exactly
right. Nice. Okay. Theo, you're back up.
What?
Yeah.
Anything from a bonus action perspective, Edith?
Yeah, really. Unfortunately.
Okay. So, you know, even as you kind of bend down to administer the potion, this almost allows it to kind of flow even further around you. The smell of the sulfur and, you know, this poisonous fumes almost mist-like surrounds you as it slams its form into you, attacking. 11 misses. It attacks again. 22. Does that hit?
Yeah.
Okay. So you take 10 points of bludgeoning damage, half because you're raging, but then you also take poison damage for 20.
I'm a survivor.
All right. Okay, so then the drow priestess, seeing that Theo is back up again, strikes with her strange whip kind of weapon and attacks. 7 does well, not penetrate.
Because I don't know if Fairy Fire is still up, but he'd be prone, so.
Oh, true, with advantage. Thank you. Ten does not penetrate. Yeah, so no, the scourge kind of wraps around you and you can see these barbed kind of thorns move by, but it doesn't do anything. And then again, the assassin, seeing that you're back up again, fires his bolts at you. Again, with advantage. Okay. 18, but let me roll advantage. 10, that misses. Okay, and then 20, that's going to miss. And 22. Okay, so that is 6 points of piercing damage. Constitution save, please.
That's pretty easy to save. 20-something? 20-25?
Okay. Yep, so that's good. Must be succeed or be poisoned for 1 hour. And then you take 5 points of poison damage.
Wow. I'm still surviving.
All right. Top of the turn, Edith.
Okay.
The two of you. That was unanticipated, but all the more rewarding. I cannot wait to claim both.
Yeah. So, that's not going to happen. As I pass... Step. I
want to
teleport away, please.
Ooh. Okay. And where are you going to go? I'm assuming you're going to take Theo with you?
Yes.
Okay.
That is the goal.
And what's the range on the Thunderous Step again?
Let me check.
And I guess the question is, where are you going? Like, what direction? Because if it depends, if like, if you go back towards where... these other ones are down the corridor, then you would be getting closer to them. I'm presuming you want to get away, right?
Yeah. I got 90 feet to work with, though.
Ooh, 90 feet. That's amazing.
Yeah. So, where can I go with 90 feet?
the problem is that you really haven't, been through a lot of this area, but I would say 90 feet would get you... And it's like a teleport, right? So you can go through walls. 90 feet would take you to about...
I'm not going to make space. I can see it within reach.
Yeah. So do you see this? That will take you... That's about 90 feet over there. And there's another corridor here. So if you wanted to go there, that could get you away. That's probably the quickest way out. And... Oh! Actually, you know what? 90 feet will take you right into the edge... And it will put you into this whole area is kind of a bowl. So if you want to teleport directly into where the bowl was, that's where you guys came from. You see this structure over here, Edith? This is kind of a gate where you emerge from a mirror. So that would put you at the very base over here, and they would have to come all the way around. Is that what you want to do?
I have to be able to see it, though. Can I see it?
From here, you cannot. Therefore, as far as you can go would be from here, 50 feet. We'll take you there.
How many feet?
50.
50.
But it's away from lots of
people. It is away from lots of people, yes.
Yeah, so let's go there.
Okay. All right. Now, I think it does damage, right?
All creatures lose the saving throw.
Super
the saving
damage. Everyone can check me with the saving throw or take 3d10 damage or have as much auto success.
Okay, so that would hit both Kitness as well as the Drow Priestess, or not Kitness, whatever this kind of strange wax creature is. Okay, so I have to make a saving throw, right? Okay. So, for Kitness, what type of saving throw? Dex? Constitution? Con, eh? Oh, only plus one. The Kitness creature fails. And the Priestess Oh, natural 20 for the priestess, so she makes it.
So 11 for the one who failed, and 5, I'm assuming, for people who didn't.
Okay, 11. All right. You know, the creature, again, made out of wax, well, you've kind of explodes and you can kind of hear it, and it's like, and 5 points, you say, for the priestess, eh? Okay, so.
Whatever happens, 11,
yeah, I'll go with 5.
I've been counting up
forever. Okay, so that's good. And that's basically that. And you are over there. Okay, so.
Don't let them get away.
And this kind of creature actually begins flowing after you. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. I'm just checking her movement. 25, 30.
You're moving.
Yeah, I assume we, like, run.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Go ahead now. So basically there is a turn to the left, and there's also a turn to the right. It appears, like, you know, from your position over here, yeah, you can't really tell until you actually go.
Well, we know there's a ball, so we know that we've been following it, so things probably go around.
Yeah, and I would say that if you want to move away, the only direction to go is right.
Yeah, that down that path.
Okay.
The far one that goes up.
How far do you want to go?
Okay,
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Do you have more than 30? Oh, and in fact, as you exit this area, you can definitely see, you know, the bowl area, but there's like a 20-foot drop. But you can see directly in front of you, there is that kind of glimmering mirror-like form within the arch. And that's where you originally appeared when you were coming through the portal. Okay. Now that is your 30, but you still have a dash if you want.
No, I use my action to thunderstep.
Oh, correct. Thank you.
And I actually have 40 feet.
Oh, you got 40 feet. Okay. So that will take you to the very edge. Do you want to go over the cliff or jump or something like that? Or what are you going to do?
No, is the bowl on the ground?
Yeah. I mean, you can see it over here. I mean, that's actually a pretty far distance.
Yeah, okay, never mind. We're just going to stay there for now.
Yeah, and it's exactly 20 feet down. I mean, you could survive that potentially, but it is a big drop. Okay, that's cool. All right, so then she kind of moved forward as quick as she can. She basically, she charges forward and does a dash to be in kind of close contact with Theo, but she doesn't get her attack. And then the other warrior basically races after you. Okay, 5... Sorry. Come on. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. He can't see. All right, so he's just going to dash another 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Okay. Almost closed the distance. All right, that's it. And we go to the top of the turn. Edith.
Well, wait, what about Theo?
Sorry. Theo. Sorry, that's my fault. Go ahead, Theo.
So Theo thinks he is having movement speed to get up.
Okay.
And then he's going to run.
Okay. Now, if you've done a dash, you still have your reaction and therefore attack of opportunity, correct? Okay. All right. So then you're going to move away, and yeah. She is going to make an attack with her whip.
Yeah.
And it is at advantage because of the fairy fire. 24 does hit.
All right. Then I'm down.
Oh, no. Okay. You hear his body and his armored body kind of sink to the ground.
Theo just went down.
Oh no, I went down.
Stop the turn, it's your turn.
All right, Edith.
You turned the corner. You're just assuming
that... Oh, he's dead, dead?
Not necessarily dead, dead. But...
Oh, okay. Well, I knew he was unconscious.
All right, Edith, what do? You hear Theo's form, you know, clunk to the ground. Ah, soon.
Rar!
Okay. You going back in?
It means that the jump down or the climb down or whatever,
the athletic
check is at
advantage.
Yeah. What do you do, Edith?
I would hate myself for it, but I'm going to go down the cliff.
Oh, boy. You're leaving him behind. Interesting. Okay. So make an athletics check with advantage because you're raging. Okay. Yeah, you manage to make it down all the way, and you don't take any damage. You just kind of climb, and you are within... Yeah, you could, but 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. Not quite, but you make it to the edge.
Well, I used to try to move down, so when I...
Oh, yeah, you would. Okay, yeah. So you make it all the way over. Now, you do see, one of the things that, you know, you're quite aware of, right on the other side of this kind of portal, you can see the frosted over form of the half-orc guard that came from the Golden Glory headquarters. You guys had kind of, you know, Theo had pushed him through, actually.
Yeah. Kind of got what he deserved, really.
Okay, so... So I guess here's my question, Edith. You are clearly leaving the area, not returning, and leaving Theo behind. You can go directly into the mirror, presuming that it will take you back to Golden Glory. You could also take this orc guard with you. Do you leave them both behind?
I'll take the orc with
you. Okay. You grab him, you bundle him into your side, and you can hear, like, there's a fluttering of bats and a scream of demonic triumph, and you disappear into the darkness of the mirrored surface and pass beyond.
Oh my God. Edith, you left Theo behind.
Selena.
Yeah.
Selena and Bobo.
Yes.
Let us return you to
the scene. So we found the other door. I would like to open the other door.
It's pretty late. Is it not? That might be a good place to end it, maybe.
Oh, is it like 5-something already?
It's already 5:05.
It is 5, but tech... Well, it's up to you guys. It would be a great place to
well, why
to,
don't
to
yeah,
stop.
Why don't we just stop? We've each had 2 turns.
All right.
So, yeah, it's a good time
we'll,
to stop.
We'll call it a day.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow, Edith. I can't believe you left him behind. Poor Theo.